Jesus Christ. Amen. Say amen this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you for it. Thank you, brother and sister. Amen. Amen. Sure enjoyed Brother Jewel being here last weekend. And I don't know if y'all caught it or not, but he started getting on some of the lines Brother Phil had been preaching on. Yeah, just how the Holy Ghost is, you know. And people ask, I've had people have asked me, well, if you don't have a headquarters or you know, some type of thing, like how do y'all stay organized one with the other, you know, or in step one with the other? It's the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. And I've had people come up to me and say, I've been listening to Brother Donnie on the internet and said, some of the things you're preaching is things he's preaching. And so that's just the Holy Spirit. He's getting his bride ready to go, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's getting his bride ready to go. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. And ask, dear God, that you will guide us now through your word. Lord, that we would be a help and encouragement, Lord, to the people. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I want to begin reading at verse 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. You may be seated. What I'd like to speak on today is, what was the Holy Ghost given for? What was the Holy Ghost given for? You know, we hear it preached, we must be born again, we must have the Holy Ghost. We've heard it taught comparisons made to such as Jesus said in a parable about the wedding garment. We've heard it compared to the robe. The mantle that Elijah had, but what is the Holy Ghost? First of all, what is the Holy Ghost? And second of all, what was it given for? Why do we need it? Or what is its purpose? What is it supposed to do when you got it? You know, a lot of people wonder, do I have it? And sometimes they question where they have it because of teachings that they've heard. And the teachings are, I won't call them false, but they're off. And so they're looking for the Holy Ghost to be something that it's not. They're looking for it to do something that it wasn't given to do. So if we know what it is, And if we know then what it was given for, well, then you can know that you got it. And also, you know, what do you got to do in order to get it? And if it's that important, then we should be able to answer those questions. Because we see the importance of it. It's even likened in the Bible to being oil. Oil in the lamps of the virgins. And it said those that had oil, and then there was those, the foolish virgins, they didn't have it. And when the call went out for the bridegroom to come, why, they, the ones who didn't have it, they went and asked of the ones that had it, said, give us of yours that we might have too. And they said, not so, lest there not be enough for us. And they went on to say, you got to go get it from them who sell. In other words, go get it from where I got it from. You can't get the Holy Ghost from one another. You can't get the Holy Ghost by rubbing shoulders with somebody. Now, why would I say that? You say, well, that's ridiculous. Why would you say that? Because there was many that believed that they had it simply because they knew Brother Branham. Amen. Knowing Brother Branham isn't going to give you the Holy Ghost. Having an eagle belt buckle is not going to give you the Holy Ghost. Believing in Brother Branham's family is not going to give you the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was not given to lift up any person other than Jesus Christ. It was never given to lift up any man. It was never given to lift up any prophet. Amen. It was given to lift up one, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, what is the Holy Ghost? Brother Branham says it this way. He said, all that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the church. All that Jehovah was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured that into the church. Now, not in one individual, but into his body. Amen. So any man who claims to be a Messiah or claims to be a one individual we must follow, why, they're Antichrist. Because he never poured it all into one man save Jesus Christ. Amen. But then what was in Christ got poured into his body. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham adds, he says, therefore, when we come together in unity, we have power. Come on. Mary says, after the Holy Ghost comes, ye shall have power. Yeah. He says, when, Brother Branham says, when we come together, we have power. Why? Because you've got your lick, I've got my lick, if I can put it this way, you know, but when we get all them together, then we're working as a united body. Imagine what it's going to be. People wonder, what kind of power is it going to take us out of here in the rapture? Imagine the entire bride of Jesus Christ worldwide being in a body change and being united with the dead in Christ. And all being in that unity, what could stop that power? What could stop that kind of power? We've, to this point, the entire bride of Jesus Christ has never been completely in unity, but they will be. But a unity of the body of the local believers, there's a power in that. There's a power in the church. We can do more together than we could ever do by ourselves. That's why when the devil comes and tries to get a thought in there, well, I don't like the way he does this, or I don't like the way they've done that, or I don't. That's trying to cause disunity. Why? Because if he can cause disunity in the church, then he'll make the church powerless. Amen? Why, if we got sick people coming in here and you say, well, it's dependent on their faith. But what about when the prophet said there's a bank of faith here so big that anybody in this building could be healed? Amen. Your faith combined with each other's faith rises up and becomes what he's trying to be, a bank of faith. Hallelujah. With that, all that faith coming together, how could God not come and do something? Hallelujah. So, what is it? That's some of the things we want to get to today. What is it? What was it given for? And then we ain't going to get to all this today. But what is it? What was it given for? And do I got it? How do I know I got it? So turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. These are going to be scriptures that you should all be familiar with. If there's one that you're not, don't take that as an insult to you. I'm not saying it that way. But I'm just saying I don't have anything here other than what's in the Word, what's in the Scriptures. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Now, the word seeth means to perceive, to understand, to seek, for. They're not looking for it. To look for. They're not looking for it. There are many that don't believe in any such thing. They think, what are you talking about, a Holy Ghost? I don't want none of that in me. Then there's those that they don't believe, well, no, that was just for the apostles. And then, like we mentioned at the start, there's those that believe that the Holy Ghost is something other than what it is. Amen? If you're looking for something to be one way and it's not that way, you can totally miss it. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, he said he sent another comforter. Well, who was the first comforter? Well, who was it that Isaiah prophesied to be the comforter? The Messiah. So Jesus speaking here, he was the first comforter. But he says, I'm going to send you another comforter. And he says, present tense, see, he says, for he dwelleth with you, that's present tense, and shall be in you, that's future tense, while he's speaking to the disciples here. Now, continue on down to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So now we know the Holy Ghost, it says it right here, it's a comforter. But what is this comforter supposed to do? When the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So he's a teacher. And if then he shall be in you, as he said in verse 17, then he's an inner teacher. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I don't know about you. I know there's some folks that can just, they can remember this particular verse of scripture and just quote it right off, just completely whatever. There's some I can do, but I'm not really made that way. But the Holy Ghost will bring things to my remembrance. I read things, and when I need them, then he brings them back to my remembrance. You would hear a message. Maybe here, sitting under your pastor, hear something. And then when you need that something, then the Holy Spirit will bring that back to your remembrance of what was said. Because why? It's not your pastor saying it. Amen? It's him. I'll show you that. But you would hear perhaps maybe a message of Brother Branham. And you may hear several. But then at some given time, you're going through something, and then the Holy Ghost will bring it back to your remembrance. Sometimes your wife's Holy Ghost will bring it back to your remembrance. My wife, she sometimes when I'm really going through something, she tells me sometimes, you need to go back and listen to your own sermons. She said, so you can remember what you said. She said, because you preached on the very thing you're suffering and going through. So, but there's, we can find comfort. How is he a comforter? Because he's not teaching us algebra. Right. He's not teaching us geometry or science. He's teaching us the word. So we find our comfort in the Word of God. Amen? Now, you've got to want that comfort that the Word gives. Everyone wants comfort. That's right. Everyone wants comfort. They want to be comfortable. They want to, and I'm not in this manner, I'm talking spiritually speaking. I'm talking like in your human spirit, you want to be comfortable. I'm not talking about having a lazy boy for this flesh. But you want to feel comfortable in yourself and in your surroundings and what's going on. Now, there's some people that find comfort in things always being the same. No change. Now, it's good if what your comfort in is always the same as the Word of God. But if it's just in your condition or just in a way or manner in which you have been brought up in and your family conducts itself in and how it, this is, in other words, say, well, this is how the Brownings do it. That's not where you should find your comfort. Well, this is how the Bontragers do it. That's not where you should find your comfort. I can name off every one of us in here. You know, don't find your comfort in how this is the way our family does things. Because they might be doing it wrong. Some people believe the gospel according to grandpa or grandma. That's not the gospel. The gospel is according to Jesus Christ. When we don't sing to be like Jerry Browning. We sing to be like Jesus. We don't want everybody being like me. We don't want everybody being like you. Especially if we're talking about this flesh. But what we want is all of us to be like Jesus. Now the way to be like Jesus is to have that spirit dwelling in you. All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church. That's how you get Christ-like. Bring back to your remembrance. Now, let's look at this word for a moment, comforter. The comforter is actually another word for advocate as well. You know what an advocate is, someone who speaks in your place for you. But in another sense, it's a helper, an assistant. It helps you. What does it help you do? It's here it says in the Greek, and I like the way they put this, it said that given to the disciples, the apostles of Christ, it was given to them divine strength needed to enable them to undergo trials and persecutions. Many times people think, well, it's given us power. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with that power. I'm going to go out and heal the sick. I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to do all this. The power was given to you that you could make it through this life. That takes power. Power to overcome the trials, the tests, and persecutions. Now, persecutions and trials aren't the same thing. You can go through trials, deal more with conditions. Persecutions deal more with people. Conditions, something you're going, that can bring about a trial. Now, I'm not saying everything's connected with people. Because we're humanity. That's just the way it is. But conditions is what's usually connected with trials. People is what brings persecution. Now, you can have strength to go through a trial. Many times it takes strength when you're under persecution. It takes a lot of strength, a lot of power just to keep your mouth shut. I didn't come here 17 some years ago. I didn't come here like I am today. There was a lot I had to learn. And I had to, it was, what do they call that? OJT, on the job training. And a lot of what I am today come from the experience that I've had over these 17 years. And some of it from experience I had before I came here. But I had to grow, not only as a minister, but I had to grow as a pastor. And I had to grow as an individual. So I had to grow within myself, within my own walk. Just like you had to grow within your own walk. Now, as I grow in my walk, and grow in my ministry and grow as a pastor, then I can help you grow in your walk. How? Not by my power, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, so that helps you to grow. All I can do is be a mouthpiece so that it can come, that Jesus Christ himself can come, the God, the voice of God, and teach us. And Brother Phil can testify to you, there's times when you're preaching that you're not just teaching the people, sometimes you're getting taught yourself all at the same time. There's times that you go through it beforehand, then after you've been through it, then God brings the understanding of it, then you bring it across the pulpit. But there's other times you're currently going through something and God's bringing it fresh right then, and it ain't just to you, it's to the one up here as well. He ain't lived it yet. He's maybe currently right in the process of it. And God gives the teaching that is needed in order for us to overcome. So one thing I had to learn, and I had to learn it, I think in all stages, I had to learn it as an individual in my walk. I had to learn it in my ministry. I had to learn it as a pastor. That is, when someone says something about me that's not true, I don't have to go convince them they're wrong. I don't have to go and convince them that I'm not that, I'm something else. You can, friends, listen, to be like Jesus, well, they called him Beelzebub. So you cannot measure what you are or if you're Christ-like by what everybody's saying about you. Because if they called him Beelzebub, who was the master of the house, what will they call the servants? What are we going to get called? Many of you have experienced some of these things throughout your life. Amen? You say, well, I don't want people thinking this about me or thinking that about me or thinking it about my family. Look, you cannot control people's thoughts. You know, you've got to realize, and even in your spiritual walk as well as your natural, you have to realize this is who I am, this is what I am, and have confidence in that. Then you don't worry about what somebody else is saying. That gives you power to overcome persecution. Now, persecution can also be in a manner of which to prevent or stop you from doing something. How do you overcome that? You overcome because you know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Persecution doesn't come from God. Persecution comes from the enemy of God. Which if you have the Holy Ghost in you, it's your enemy. Now, not always does this come through the, sometimes it comes through Satan putting a thought in your mind. And then you get to dwell on that thought, you think the thought's yours, and you think you're logically thinking this, and you're thinking, well, for instance, well, how could I have the Holy Ghost? Well, look at this in me, or look at that in me, or look at, he's the accuser of the brethren. Now, when they use that sense, brethren, it's actually encompassing not just men, but women. Just like they say, mankind. So he's the one to come, and who does he accuse you to? So he accuses God. Sometimes he accuses you to you. Why? Because he wants to shake the very thing that you need. Now, we said there was an example that has been preached on concerning Elijah and the mantle. Elisha, if you recall the story from the scripture, Elisha wanted the same spirit that Elijah had. He not only, he said, I want a double portion of that. Now, I know there's been men over the years have raised up and said, well, I'm the Elisha. Brother Bram was Elijah, I'm the Elisha. I've seen people point at a minister and saying, well, you know, Elisha caught that spirit that Elijah had. Elisha is the type of the bride, the body, not a type of any one individual. Because all that Christ was, he poured into the church. Not all that Christ was, he poured into Jerry Browning. Amen? So, Elisha wanted a double portion of what Elijah had. Now, in order to get that, Elijah promised he could have it. But in order to get it, there was a condition that had to be filled. And if Elisha didn't fill that condition, then he wouldn't receive it. And that condition was, Elijah said to him, if you see me when I go up, then you shall have it. Well, can you imagine? Elisha says, I'm not going to take my eyes off this man. Wherever he goes, I'm going with him. I'm going to see him when he goes up. And I can tell you this, friends, There was distractions along the way. There were things to try to get Elisha to not believe that. There were things to try to get Elisha to turn to the left or turn to the right. But this wasn't just a natural thing. This was a spiritual thing. And the real condition that Elisha had was he had to believe what Elijah said. That was the condition. That was the spiritual condition, was to believe. And that is the spiritual condition for you to receive the Holy Ghost. You must believe. Faith. We walk by faith. Not something you can see, not something you can hold, not something you can feel, but something you can believe. Something you believe. It's faith. And that's the very thing that Satan's trying to shake in you. But when he points out your faults, your mistakes, your failures, and all these things. Now, before I kind of got a little ahead of myself, before I go on, turn with me to John 16. I should have already had you turn there, but I don't want to leave it out, and then we'll wrap it in and go on with this. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, it doesn't say he'll guide you into truth. If I said, I'm going to guide you into truth, you'd say, all right, truth about what? I could guide you into truth about a certain thing, but that's not guiding you into all truth. You understand? He said it would guide you into all truth. I've had some ask me, why was it I never got caught up in this movement or in this false doctrine or this camp or whatever? Because you weren't ordained to. Now, could there be some that would get caught up in and then be brought out of? Yeah. But once they have the Holy Ghost is to lead you into all truth. If you got the Holy Ghost, at some point you're going to see the error, if there is error. I know that I have confidence here. I try my best to really screen anybody that I allow to come in here and preach. I don't do it because that I'm afraid they'll say something different than what I say. I do it for you. God put me there to be as the pastor would be the gate to the sheepfold, the shepherd. In other words, they said in the old customs, the shepherd would lay himself down in the opening. He, therefore, Jesus could say, I'm the door. And so I don't want this door just swinging open to just anybody. But neither am I afraid that somebody will come in here and teach you something that's wrong, because I feel you've been taught well, and also that you have the Holy Ghost, which this part's more important than anything I can teach you, that you have the Holy Ghost, that it would be an uncertain sound. in your ears. There, you might not be able to explain it or completely put your finger on it, but you say, that doesn't ring true.
Amen.
Amen. I don't worry if somebody comes in here and says something that's a little bit out in left field or whatever, and if I feel led by the Holy Spirit, I'll come set it straight. I've heard evangelists say, well, if I say anything out of the way, you just follow your pastor will set it straight. That's all well and fine, but I tell you what, I never wanted to go into anybody's group when I was out on the field. I never wanted to go into anybody's group and cause anything that the pastor would have to get up behind me and say, now, you know. But did it ever cause? Yes. Because there, I can recall one time I was preaching the truth. However, I'd done it in a way that to try not to step on what the pastor, how he believed something, but he caught it. He caught it, and he tried to get up and sway the people back to the way he looked at it, and what it had to do with was, how is a triune being set up? Is it body, soul, spirit, or is it body, spirit, soul? Those that believe it's body, soul, spirit, they believe that the spirit dwelleth within the soul. Your spirit does not dwell in your soul. There should only be one spirit dwell in your soul, and it should be his spirit. If it's any other spirit other than that, that's right. Couldn't have said it better. But they'll look at the message, Greatest Battle Ever Fought, when Brother Branham preached that message, which, by the way, was preached prior to March of 1963. Brother Branham placed the spirit as being the innermost part. And he placed the soul out from that. But then after the seals was open, every place you go, Brother Branham has it that it's body, spirit, soul. And remember, he said about the seals, he said, the Bible became a new Bible to me. It opened the word, not just to us. It opened the word to the prophet. Amen? It had to open the word to the prophet, or it would never been open to us. And as you've heard Brother Phil preach when he preached on the seven seal, yes, it got open to Brother Branham first. He saw it. The people walked out of the service and said, well, it was never open. But Brother Branham said, oh, I'm afraid I said too much. If Satan would get a hold of this, he could do great damage. Why? Because what laid under that was getting ready to come forth.
Yeah.
The message is, what do you hear after the seals? Not just Christ the mystery God revealed, you hear that, but you hear the rapture. Future home. Huh? Many of these, you just go through and naming these off, the things that were preached after the seals was opened. And any error that there might have been was corrected. Brother Branham said at one time he believed that the evidence of the Holy Ghost was having love. Well, he lets you know in other places it's not, you cannot say that love's not involved. It's perfect love. But the reason that he would say it's not love is because a lot of people take, there are a lot, not just among the message people, among all walks of Christianity, they'll take filial love as being God's love in them. Filial love will fail.
Yes, it will.
If you filial love God, now listen, you can fall out of love with him. But if you love God with perfect love, you'll never fall out of love with him. Now, see, we was in John 16. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. Now, whatsoever, you take a minister. A minister should just be a vessel for God to come and speak through. A minister must not take and mix his logic with the word. I've got logic just like you do. I try at times to use my logic just like you do. And it gets frustrating when something's not logical that's going on. And it's happening, you're going through it, and you say, this just isn't logic. How in the world could this have ever be or happen? And you can't figure it out. Look, I'm in the same boat with you. But one thing that I must not do is mix my logic with the word that's coming forth. I'm to be a vessel. I forget the exact word or phrases, but let me put it to you this way. I'm not here to impregnate you with myself, with my thoughts, with my philosophies, with my logic, with my word. I'm to be a unique vessel that the word is what you become impregnated with. When people become impregnated with the words or thoughts of the pastor, you can tell that. If I got every one of you in here worshiping exactly the same way or believing in worship as far as the outer attributes of it, then what I've done is I've impressed upon you myself. You're individuals. I like that song. Brother Nate sings it sometimes. It says, I don't know why I get a little shy when I get around a bunch of people. But it goes on to say, but when I get over there, I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. And I don't have the words there exact, but you know the song. He sings it time to time. My wife, y'all that really know her, she's more of a quiet type person, especially when she gets around a crowd. And she's not someone that, she doesn't want to be the center of attention. Let the attention be somewhere else. There's some folks that they're comfortable with being the center of attention. There's some folks that shouldn't be the center of attention that want to be the center of attention. But she's quiet, and she often says, well, about that song, well, when I get over there, then I will, you know. I'll say, why don't you shout out sometime and say, that's right, amen, you know. She's shy. You know, that's just who she is. That's part of who she is. And you know, and so we're not all the same. So we're not all going to express ourselves the same. Now, I'll never forget the time that we was replacing the flooring out here in front of that door, and the flooring had got rotten. And so we had to cut out a big section of it. And then it was cutting the plywood part to put in there, wanted to fit exact, tight and exact. And Brother Paul was the one that was working on that. And when they got it down there just right, I remember they couldn't quite get it in. And Brother Paul went and he jumped up and down on it, and it just went right down in there just right and fit real tight. And Brother Paul was all excited about it, you know. And you know how Brother Paul acts with his hands and things, you know. That's how he shows when his emotions or expresses it. Not everybody's going to express it the same way Brother Paul does. And I can tell you this, friends. Brother Phil could tell you, you know, and I'm not trying to single out Brother Paul, but just use him as an example. If you don't like it, I'll use you next Sunday. But when I'm up here preaching, my eyes will catch movements from Brother Paul, and I can see when he's in agreement, and there's sometimes it's like I catch a cue from him, and it's helpful. It really is. It you know, if you're preaching to a bunch of bumps on a log, you're not going to get any sign whatsoever out of it. My point is, not everybody is supposed. We're not robots. We're not stamped out of a pattern of Jerry Browning or Phil Bontrager or David Horner or Brother Paul. We express the way God made us. Remember Brother Branham saying that he put this one with that one and that one with this one until he would write it all down to being you come out? Because he wanted that, Brother Branham put it, that certain ting in the bell. He wanted you to be a certain way. And the way God has made you, that's how he wants you to be. He don't want you to be like somebody else or try to imitate somebody else. You be who you are. My grandson Michael, some people say, well, he looks like the Browning side of the family. Well, I can tell you this, he acts like David. When he gets at home, you say, well, he just imitates David. Oh, it's far more than that. He's comfortable with what he's doing. He gets home, gets up on the table, yeah. Gets up on the coffee table, that's his pulpit. He begins to testify, then he begins to sing. He can't never sing without testifying. What is it? Look, friends, he's not even quite 2 years old yet. That ain't something he really just learned. It's in him. You can see it. When we go out to eat at Shoney's, when we leave there, they don't say goodbye, Jerry. They say goodbye, Michael. When I come in, if I come in and he's not with me, they say, where's Michael? They don't even know my name. But he says hi to everybody. I said, he's going to be known all throughout Dixon. He don't get that from me. I can tell you two individuals in here that's known all throughout Dixon, and they're related to that little boy. It's like even with preaching. If you hear my daddy preach, hear me preach, hear my brother preach, you'll see quite a difference in the way. Why? Because we weren't just stamped out of a mold. You know? My dad never tried to make us into him. He said, if you got a ministry, it won't need propped up. It'll just come forth. He said, and if you don't got one, nobody could prop it up and keep you there. And he taught us things and gave us advice in that, but he never tried to make us be him. We were to be what God made us to be in the ministry. Amen? Dad would give us, my dad would give correction, my dad would give advice, and so on, but Dad, he never tried to make me stamp out another James Browning. Nor did he my brother. Why? God made us the way he made us. And we were made that way because of you. Hallelujah. I truly believe that, and I'm not pinning any medals on myself or nothing like that. I truly believe that when God makes a pastor and sends a pastor, calls him, I believe he has molded that pastor for the group of people he's going to pastor. You believe that? He does. And I'll tell you this. You couldn't take me and put me over in another church and me pastor it because God called me to pastor this one. I couldn't go over and say, well, I can do a better job than Brother So-and-so. Neither could Brother So-and-so say he could do a better job than me and come in here. You following? This ain't pinning badges on anyone. This is just telling you how the Holy Spirit works. Oh, look at our time. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? I'm just going to close with that. Amen. Because I know I'm not going to get to all this, and if I start into any more, why, we'll get into the middle of something I can't finish yet. So we'll just save it. Amen. You say, praise the Lord. Amen. Just be praying for me on these Sunday services. Amen. Because I believe this is a very important and needed subject. I believe it'll be a great help to us. And so, you know yourself, you know perhaps what questions you have, you know perhaps that you have been misled, or perhaps that how your thoughts run, and just keep that in mind and pray, God, open my understanding to this. Amen. And young people, need to listen up to it. Amen. Because there is an age you come to. It's an age of accountability where mom and daddy is not your Holy Ghost anymore. When you're real young, why, mom and dad says, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do this. No, you can't go there. No, you can't go here. You know, they're your Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost in them that's keeping you. But then there comes an age when you got to get it yourself. There comes an age when you got to get it yourself. Why? Mom and daddy ain't with you 24 hours of the day every day. And I'll tell you what, when the kids are in school, and as they get further on up in school, the influences become greater. And your a child in school is more hours in a day around and under those influences than they are the parents. And so they need something to keep them. They need something to teach them. They need something to guide them. You don't got to wait till you get out of high school to get the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, the only way you're going to make it through high school without being under the influence or being scarred or whatever is to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, young people, listen up. This ain't just to older folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time to be here and under your word, dear God. And Lord, I look at this message, Lord, and see it's more of an introduction to what, Lord, that you've placed on my heart. And I pray, dear God, that you will, knowing, Lord, the needs of the people, Lord, that you will guide me, Lord, to speak to that. Lord, to where, let me be that vessel that you may come and speak to their needs, Lord. Open our hearts. We open our hearts to you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to open our eyes. We ask it, Lord, ever giving you the glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Flow through me, Holy Spirit. The world around me fades.
Dismiss us.